Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Also joining us is this Megatron-looking motherfucker. I don't know who this is. Oh, but you can't see it. Ah, it's so cool-looking. It's not Megatron, though. It's like...
Is it your little vinyl toy?
Yeah, his name's Shrapnel.
Oh, I got some other dude.
What kind of B-level character is that? Yeah. I haven't worn it. For some reason, the shirt looks a lot bigger than normal.
The shirt is huge. Look how big this shirt is.
Yeah.
I can't fill this.
And the other shirts I've gotten actually are the right size. Some just a snug too small, so I'm actually surprised.
I wish I had my Zelda shirt for comparison, because I swear there's got to be a good 3 inches of fabric on either side of that red shirt versus my Zelda shirt, which the Zelda shirt fits perfectly. I thought it was just because the Transformer shirt looks like it's just either unisex or men's or something, but it's a large, and it's like a large. It's not a for ladies large.
Yeah, it's a big one. But I haven't opened my, what is this, vibrating toy?
I have not opened my vibrating toy either.
You know what? I want to keep it pristine in its packaging, if you know what I mean.
I thought that too. I was kind of like, I don't really know what this does. And it says it's powered by vibrations, which kind of creeps me out a little. So I'm just going to leave it in its package.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to come into my office and be like, what is this, Ryan? Vibrating nanobots?
Transformer?
But, you know what? I was about to unsubscribe from Loot Crate, and then I saw that the next month is Villains, and it's another t-shirt, and the graphics they have there look pretty fantastic with the Joker, Deadpool,
and... The Joker one looked awesome. So it was Joker, Deadpool, and who was the other one? I was trying to tell Joel, and I forgot.
I'd have to pull it up, but...
Let me Google that for
you. Yeah, no, it's right here. I got it. Venom.
Oh, Venom, right.
So, yeah, two Marvel and one DC. What are you trying to say, Lucas? Loot Crate?
but I mean, like, I think it looks really cool. I'm glad that they're kind of mixing it up. So we had kind of a video game theme, and now we have, like, a Transformer theme, and then next month is comic theme. So they're really spreading it out, but at the same time... And I wish it was just video game focused. I feel like I missed out on all the really, really, really cool video game loot crates.
Yeah.
I did get the adventure one, but all I really got out of that I enjoyed was the Zelda bottle opener and the Zelda t-shirt. Everything else was Adventure Time and...
I got a Minecraft sword.
Minecraft, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And both of them I was kind of like, meh. What do you mean you got a Minecraft sword?
Well, I got, like, they had this little, like, keychain thing. It's attached to my desk. Let's see if I can get it. To show the listeners, but it's like this
show the listeners.
Well, show the fine folks who are watching, but it's like a little sword and it's from Minecraft. And it was like the keychain hook thing. To be honest, I don't know what you'd use it for. But
keychain?
Maybe. But it looks like it would just fall off. But I don't know. With Loot Crate I want there to be like a really good video game one, and I just I wonder when they'll get that opportunity, like, you know, there hasn't been a giant release. Like, we get an entire crate devoted to Transformers thanks to, you know, the fantastic piece of shit that is opening this weekend.
The movie, right. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, exactly. I hope everybody else did too, and maybe they can, you know, revisit the drawing board.
I did see a couple of tweets saying people were excited about it and going to go see it. And
you have to watch it for what it is. But yeah. I haven't seen 3, and I don't know.
I feel like 1 was okay, 2 was shit, 3 was better than 2, maybe back on par with 1. Patrick Dempsey was awful, Shia LaBeouf was awful, but there was no more Megan Fox, so that was good. The chick that they had was kind of meh.
But the story was better. Did she still, like, work on motorcycles? Like, her ass had to be in the air for some reason? Like...
No.
I never understood that. Like, if you worked on a motorcycle like that, like, first of all, you'd fall off the motorcycle. and second of all, people would be dropping, like, quarters in there like you're a vending machine. I just... I don't get it. And, you know, how much you want to bet August Loot Crate will be Ninja Turtles?
Might be.
Yeah. which I'm cool with that. I like me some ninjas, my Ninja Turtles. But
yeah, I think if it's Ninja Turtles, I'm going to unsubscribe. I'm really, the one I wish that I had been subscribed for was the Game of Thrones Skyrim mashup.
Yeah.
That one was the best I've seen so far.
It was. It didn't have a t-shirt, surprisingly.
It didn't, but it had a two lot vinyl of toys. Super cool toys, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I like collectibles.
Yeah, me too. As noted, I'm
although
sure I am.
Nothing will beat my Blizzard Zergling Baneling, like nothing ever of life. That thing transforms.
That did not come in a loot crate. We should probably mention.
No, it did not. I came straight from Blizzard.
Yeah, fine.
Attached to a really big FedEx bill. I was shocked, but it was worth it because Zergling Baneling.
Yeah, was the FedEx bill more expensive than the Baneling?
No, but it did double the shipping cost.
Oh, man. Brutal.
So, yeah, I don't know what it is with bringing things across the border, but they just don't like to do it. T-shirts, plushies, like anything fabric for some reason? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've had issues where and this has been totally cleared up for those who are listening. I'm going to take this the wrong way, but I got a package from SalesGeek a couple years ago. I think it was the Nerdtacular 2012 bag, and it kind of got lost in shipping. I ended up getting it a week before I left for Nerdtacular 2013, and he had said to me, he's like, oh, the Mounties stopped it at the border. I'm like, you realize the Mounties are... Well, actually, that might be accurate, but, you know, Canada is weird. Like, they don't... Sometimes packages are just lost in the ether. I don't know what it is, but all was fixed in that part. But
yeah. So, yeah, I got my loot crate today, so you got yours today. That was good. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is that IGN and I feel like one or two other, like, big news outlets always post what's in the loot crate before I get mine.
Yeah, the States, they get it, like... They get it super mid-June, fast. You know, yeah. Like the 15th or something. Whereas Canada, UK, and Australia get theirs, I believe, the very end of the month.
Which makes sense. I mean, shipping does take longer. We're further away. But yeah, Sparky Shocker in the chat room is saying that he or she got theirs last weekend. So yeah, one of the not-so-perky things about living in Canada. But
there's so many other great things, though. Let's be honest. Let's not... I wouldn't move because my loot crate gets here 10 days late.
I don't know. That's some motivation.
I right keep there. Getting spoiled on my $30 box of toys, goddammit. I'm moving to New York.
When you put it that way, that seems a little bit ridiculous. But there are a lot of kind of cool sales and stuff going on in the vein of Loot Crate. We've got Steam Sale, which is like constant loot in general. Oh. But this year, not so much. What about you? Have you seen anything in the Steam sale that's really gotten you stoked? I mean, I know we talked about it last week, so we don't have to dwell on it, but there's been 7 more days of sales.
I know.
Anything?
Yeah, I've bought some things. And really?
I thought you already had all the things.
No, see, this is the thing. Like, every time this is going to sound bad, and if we ever have indie developers listen to this episode, they're probably yelling at their... wherever they're listening to this, but I'll like see a game with, you know, withstand the need to buy it at full price or at discounted from Green Man Gaming and add it to my wish list and wait until the sale. So I had like a list of games from that are like indie variety. I bought like Betrayer, Banished, Octodad, Goat Simulator, even after you made fun of me last night. It looks so much fun. $5 of fun, Jocelyn.
It's simulating a goat.
Yeah, but if...
I believe you tried to sell me on it by saying, but you get to lick things.
No. Listen, I had a goat. I grew up on a farm, and we had a goat, and that goat could...
So then you already lived the simulation. You don't need a video game. You lived it, Ryan. You lived it.
I did, but that goat did not lick me, attach its tongue to me, and then swing me around like a helicopter and throw me halfway across the map.
That's
or,
not how goats work. That's
exactly.
A poor simulation.
That's why it's awesome, and the fact that it's called Goat Simulator is totally not, like, it's not like Farming Simulator. It's, you just play, it started off as like a, what is it, like a game jam game for Coffee Stain Studios.
Hang on, I have to stop you there for a second, because, and Nat Tassan in the chat room says Goat Surgeon Operating Train Simulator?
No.
It's awesome, because there are a ridiculous number. I don't know what it's been in the last, like, 3 to 4 months, but the number of simulator games through the roof, and they're all crazy. Like that one you tried to get me to play that I was literally like surgeon or something operating simulator.
That's a great example. So like that game is not a simulator. It's not teaching you, like it says perform Erbenhard surgery. I'm pretty sure you don't perform an Erbenhard surgery by grabbing a hammer, bashing the rib cage open, and then sticking your arm in, cutting. Like that's not how it works. It's very surgical.
Are you sure? Are you a surgeon?
No, that's actually that's a fair point. But it's
but you do know how goats work.
They lick things, they kick propane tanks and fly halfway across the map, and they live to talk about it. I am definitely going to check it out, and I'm definitely going to... I've got a whole whack of these crazy indie titles to check out, and I'll try to stream them or get something up on YouTube. And then you will know the true power of the Goat Simulator.
Another really cool, awesome sale thing that's going on this weekend is... it's kind of a sale, kind of not. So Smite has come out with, this weekend you can earn double the favor and free gems, which is their in-game currency, so yay! But also, there is a skin celebrating the, is it Birth of America? Is that what Independence Day is? Or, I guess, Independence from England? So that's like the start of America being a thing, right?
They said when they kicked Britain's butt.
Ah, okay. So... in celebrating of kicking Britain's butt, they have taken the god Ra, which is the Egyptian god of the sun, and made Ra America!
Nice.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, the Egyptian god has a bird face. And so this one, the Ra America skin has a bald eagle head, and he's like decked out like Dills when he plays golf in his American gear. So it... normally, when he does his ulti, he goes, Rah! And so, Ramerica goes, Ramerica! It's excellent. Makes me laugh. And part of the proceeds go to support the American Red Cross. So, if you are a Smite player and you're looking for a way to support a charity at the same time, it makes me laugh so much. Go pick up the skin. I'm going to do it right after the show. Speaking of right after the show, we're going to play some Smite. So come on, hang out. Fun. Yay.
It's been a while since I've played. Oh, yeah, that is definitely something an American would make. That's very American.
Oh, are you looking at it right now?
It actually, you know what? I think the coolest part about it is the fact that they've changed Ra's face to be a bald eagle.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It makes me be like, yeah, America! I'm not even American.
$2 donated to the American Red Cross. Actually, that's a great cause. Definitely, if you're going to buy one skin, make sure it's the Romerica skin.
And they're, I think, 500 or 600 gems, which is approximately equivalent to about $5 a skin. Mm-hmm. Depending on how big of a gem pack you buy, because obviously you buy more gems, they're cheaper per gem. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at about almost 40 to 50% of the proceeds of the skin are going to charity, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, all in all.
Yeah. So you picked it up. Are you
going to
pick it up?
I'm going to. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to, yeah.
And you're
going
to play as Raw America tonight?
No, probably not. Ah. But it is, as far as I can tell, it's a limited time. So, anyways, pick it up. What have you been playing other than, I've been playing Smite. I played a lot of Smite with Josh after you went to bed like a wuss yesterday.
At 11 o'clock at night.
When I went to bed at 2 a.m.
It's actually a
like
good thing
a real
that I
went. Gamer.
We talked about this before the show, but it's a good thing I went to bed because I had to get up in the middle of the night to let a poor dog outside. But we played Forced last night. And I want to say that don't Google image Forced without the additive of game or
search on
and put your the internet's a fucked up place. I was trying to find like a title card to use for both the stream and for the Patreon post, and if I had used that we probably would have got banned, but yeah. Forced picked it up on the Steam sale, shared the love with the patrons, and we had a blast last night, except for that final boss who kept being a dick.
Yeah, and I was really surprised because Forced was really not easy, but fun, challenging, but doable, mm-hmm. all up until that very last, like, two things that we tried to do and we couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's one of those games where at the start, it was a little bit tedious and boring, like, going through. It's like, okay, kill these guys. Okay, go do this. But once you realize that the game is more about cooperative play, like, you're all on the same team, you're all trying to get mm-hmm. the same thing, and you're all trying to get the same objective, and then you could start, like, planning things out. Like, could you imagine, A, trying to play that game by yourself and having fun, or B, trying to play that game with other people online when they're not on Skype?
Oh my god, that would have been so difficult.
Yeah.
And I mean, it even got to the point where we weren't even saying, like, oh, hey, Ryan, can you go over there? It was like, yellow, do this, green, do this, red, do this.
Yeah.
We didn't even know who was playing who anymore. It was just like, everyone strategizing at the same time. It was fun, but mm-hmm. like I said, and it might have just been that we were tired. I felt like I was getting more into it, and I was getting better the longer we played. But then, like, we just hit that wall with that crazy laser room, and then with the boss, that I was just like, well, this isn't really fun anymore, and I don't want to go back and grind out, because basically what you're supposed to do is go back, do the challenges, try to do them, you know, faster, or do whatever the special thing in each level is, like, you know, go through and don't touch the sides, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the case may be for the special challenge mode. And you're supposed to grind up your skills, and I don't want to do that. I don't know where this kind of culture came from in games, where the way to make it harder and replayable is to force you to go back, redo content repeatedly in order to grind your way up to being able to beat a level. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I've already beat that. I showed you I could do that. So let me play the next one and beat it. Don't make me get up to level 10 before I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, we were having a good time, and you know, the importance of playing a video game is knowing when to stop. And I think
true. I was getting pretty burnt out.
Yeah, like, and I think you know, we powered through some tough spots, but I think we stopped at the right moment. And I, for one, have a real problem with knowing when to stop. Like, I'll keep playing, like, just a terrible game and punishing myself. So.
Neo in the chat room is saying, isn't that Diablo 2? And it is, like, Diablo is a really good example mm-hmm. where you have to go back and you grind, and really the only reason to go back and grind through the same content is to get better gear and be able to up your difficulty, but you're playing over the same content over and over and over and mm-hmm. over, and I'm just like, it's the reason that I've given up Diablo 3 now, because I'm just like, I don't really care about, you know, like, now I've beaten the story. I don't care what my gear looks like. I don't, like, the loot drops are fun, but, you know, like, I have no goal now. Like, the content is done. And I'm not even max level yet. And I'm just like, well, why am I going to get max level? Like, I beat the content.
Yeah. I haven't gone back to Diablo yet. But I think that, you know, it's not about grinding. I for me, it's more about having fun with other people. Like, I don't think I'll I don't think I'll jump back into Diablo until it's like, we should play Diablo, sweet, let's do that, or we should play Forced, yeah, let's do, like, I'm not gonna go back to Forced unless there's other people there that want to play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't complex enough, and the story wasn't there for me. Like, there is a story, but it's mostly just bad voice acting padded with, you know, like, just weird motivation. So there's this, like, orb saying to you, like, hey, you guys are gladiators, you should come with me. Oh, there's this dick guardian guy who's kind of been talking smack. So you just start progressing through the levels, and then the end of the level, it's like, we should kill this dude. And I'm like, okay, let's kill him. And then evidently we weren't supposed to kill him. It's just all over the place.
Yeah. And, like, I kind of followed the story, but Josh, who played with us last night and is currently in the chat room, is saying that, like, it is a little bit different than Diablo, and it is. This is, like, a co-op puzzle-solving game, way less than, like, a loot thing or, like, combat or anything. Like, the focus is really on the puzzle. It's almost like Portal like that. Like, it's not a combat-y type game. There's things that you have to kill, mm-hmm. and some of the goals are, like, kill things... you know, kill so many of a thing in a certain way, or kill something within a time limit sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no payoff at the end of it. It's just kind of like, okay, now you may or may not have unlocked another skill, and from there you get to move on. And you collect little, like, gemmy things, and there's a different kind of gem depending on what challenge you beat. So there's, like, a time challenge, a completion challenge, which is basically just you beat the level, and then there's usually some other sort of skill challenge, which is usually, like, there's one level with mist, and so the skill is complete the entire level without anyone in your party touching the mist. So there's that kind of stuff. But there is no, like, loot reward like in Diablo. There's no real reason to go back other than to level up enough to then unlock the skills you need to beat the second tier boss. And it's just kind of like, well, do I care that much about beating the second tier boss? Really?
It was it was more about the fun of it. And you mentioned a really fun level, which was the mist level, where we had to, like, there in the middle of the level there was this weird venting pot that would spread this mist across the map, which would do damage over time against your characters. And what you had to do was you have this wisp that you can call over, and you'd go like, "Hey, listen," and it'd come over, and every time it crossed the pot thing, it would stop generating mist and it would recede. So we had like two people on one side of the map and two people on the bottom. We'd be like coordinating, "Okay, send the wisp up that way, send the wisp back down this way." All while trying to kill these specific monsters. And I think that's the key right there. Like, is... And that one was... We actually went back and did it again to unlock the extra challenge because we enjoyed the setup of the level so much. And I think that's the key takeaway for this game is that it's not about the story. It's certainly not about, like, the combat, especially in the early levels, was still a little, you know, not very satisfying. But it's all about that cooperative... Like, that fun of yelling at each other and you know, me, like, a couple times, the archive might still be up on Twitch, but me, like, blinking, I guess, like, past this sort of, like, orb of safety and out into the abyss, and I die instantly, and just, we'd all keel over laughing.
So that's true. I mean, there were some funny moments. We had fun. And like you said, I think we quit at the right time. I'm not sure when I'm going to want to get back into it. But, you know, like, I think with people is definitely key. Yeah. I did play just probably about 10 or 15 minutes before by myself just to make sure everything was working and, you know, trying to decide if I wanted controller or keyboard. And it was okay, but it wasn't as fun. Yeah. It was definitely more fun with people. So,
well, we have another copy. For the patrons, if we do another patron night and the patrons want to play Forest and also get in on it, be sure to hit us up.
Very, very
true. But not next week.
No, not next week, because I'll be in Utah.
We'll give Jocelyn a bit of a break.
Yes. So speaking of playing with other people, WildStar, I have now officially bought the game. So I had a, 7-day trial that Joel gave me, because when you buy a copy of WildStar, then you get 7-day trials to give to your friends. I think you get 3 or 4 of them. So I tried it last weekend, and I actually had a really good time. When I played it in beta, first of all, it was pretty early beta, and it was the Dominion side that I played. I made a little Chua. Adorable, but not really... The story didn't grab me. It was really, really buggy. Like, I can't believe the changes that they made from when I played to, like, now. Like, it's crazy. I didn't think that they were going to be able to release at all. So it was really cool to see all the changes. I played on the Exile side because that's what AIE decided that they wanted to play. So I made an Exile character. I made a Mordesh, which is kind of like the undead character, for lack of a better kind of comparison. Basically, they're this race of like humanoids that have become infected, and so parts of their body are slowly dying. So they have to like encase them in glass with like goo to try to make their bodies not rot away. So it's kind of they're a little bit undead, but they're not like died and then risen again. They're like in an accelerated state of dying.
Yeah. So that's the character I played too. I got a guest pass. I unfortunately didn't have enough time to even get off the ship. But man, 7 days in MMO just flies by. But
which is why I ended up purchasing it, because there was a deal on Green Man Gaming and it was 25% off, I think. So, I mean, it was like $45, which, you know, 40, 45 is kind of what I'm looking for in a game that I may not have a ton of time to play. But for like 60 just seems like so much. But I was playing it. I enjoyed it. I'm a little bit worried because Warlords has now, like, I'm in the beta. I was in the alpha. WoW is really starting to heat up now. And I'm just like, I've already canceled my ESO subscription because I just didn't have time to play. I intend to go back to it, but at a later time. But, like, even trying to juggle two is a lot. Trying to juggle three is impossible. Like, I don't know how I'm going to find the time to play it, but I really, really, really enjoyed it. And basically, I got down off the ship. I was playing by myself, which I think makes a big difference. There were other players around me, but I wasn't trying to quest with anyone, which was my problem. Again, I tried to quest with Joel in the beta, and it was just awful. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing by myself, which is also what I did in Elder Scrolls and probably why I enjoyed it and not a lot of people may have enjoyed the questing mechanic, but playing by myself was great. Mm-hmm. I picked an area when I got down to the planet, and no spoilers, because I don't want to spoil it, because it was like this super cool thing, but you spend a lot of time building something, doing something, and then all of a sudden, the opposing faction, the Dominion, comes in and does something, and you're just, it made me so mad. Like, the story just, like, grabbed me, and, like, literally the next quest after that is, like, go, kill Dominion, avenge, blah, and you're just like, okay, like, go, 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 kill, 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 goddamn Chua. So, you know, like, it was really, really, it grabbed me, and I was just like, okay, that's it, like, I'm in, I love this. So I played that for probably a good 6 or 7 hours on the weekend, and it was a lot of fun, so I grabbed it, because I know I'm going to go, and I'm going to play it. Probably getting it right before Nurtacular was not a good idea.
Did you activate it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I tried WildStar, and the game is great, and I tried to really, you know, get in there as quick as possible to get as far as I could to actually tell if I wanted to pick it up, but I think in that process, I sort of damned myself because I was missing out on a lot of story, because it sort of presents a lot of it in, like, little boxes with little text, and you kind of have to stop yourself and read it and move on. Like, I just wish there was, not all of it was voice acted, but there was just a little bit more. There's not a lot of voice acting in that game.
True. There's quite a lot of voice acting in Heroes, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The alpha. You're in the alpha, and you've actually, last week, you say to me pre-show, it's like, I don't think I played many games. Did we talk about Heroes last week? And I'm like, no, I think I'd remember if you talked about, like, one of the alphas I actually want to get into. You had just announced that you got in, so you tried it.
I did.
How is it?
I did. I tried it. It's good. I liked it. I've been listening to, obviously, Garrett's Into the Nexus podcast with him and Kyle and Dills.
Sure.
I really like them. I like the podcast. I'm so lost. And I thought at first that listening to the podcast, I would then, you know, be able to, when I got into Heroes, that everything would kind of click and make sense. Mm-hmm. I've listened to every episode. I'm so freaking lost. Like, so much.
Weird.
So I got in there and I kind of knew what the objectives were. I've watched streams before, but it's just like everyone I feel like is so far ahead of me. And so far ahead of the curve. It's absolutely how, because it's been 8 or 10 weeks now since it actually came out in alpha. And this must be how everyone who waited 8 or 10 weeks or longer to get into Hearthstone felt.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I get in there and I'm like, I don't know what characters to pick. I don't know what characters or what play what role or what the, like, some maps you're supposed to go for mercenaries, some maps you're supposed to go for objectives, some maps you're just supposed to ignore everything and team fight, and I'm just like, oh, so complicated. I just want to go play Smite. What I did.
Oh no. You get into the alpha after all this and you go play Smite. That's not a bad thing.
When I say I then went and played Smite, I played Heroes for probably 4 or 5 hours. Like, just practice mode to try out different characters. Rainer, I have such a video game crush on him. I love him so much.
Yeah, he's I've seen some of the tutorial and and the other voice acting for him in the game, and he's a riot. Like, he's breaking the fourth wall and having a fun time doing it. It's great.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was really fun, and I tweeted out something along the lines of, hello, Commander Raynor, and then, like, people were tweeting back, well, he's not really the best hero, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you missed the point. He's yummy. I don't care if he's good. I don't like him for his talent.
Jeez. So this is one of those instances of the guys who pick female characters just to stare at their bums?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. You're just getting
a little... not really the staring at his bum part, because they're really teeny tiny, because it's the god view, not the third person view. So they're really teeny tiny. You can't see a whole lot of detail, but you can listen to him.
Oh, it's the voice.
The voice. So, but yeah, so I played Raynor, I played Tyrande, the archer. I feel like I played one more. Nova. I tried Nova as well. Because cool. I gravitate towards ranged characters, and Raynor is a ranged character as well. Mm-hmm. Listening to them talk on Into the Nexus, there's a new character that came out this week. Oh. And I can't remember who it is, but she's a Zerg queen. She's not Kerrigan, but Kerrigan has, like, the level right under Kerrigan. Like, all the queens in StarCraft, they kind of waddle around and then poop out creep tumors.
She was in Heart of the Swarm.
She was.
She's in your ship.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of her name. It starts with an X, doesn't it? Like, Zangra?
I think so, but I can't remember.
I don't
know. So, anyways, and she basically, her powers are spawning different types of Zerg. So, like, you know, she spawns Hydralisks, and she spawns, I don't know if she actually spawns Zerglings, because Kerrigan does that. But there's, like, three or four types of Zerg that she creates, and they're a varying different abilities and power and stuff. So that's what she does, is she basically just kind of sits back and creates minions of different types.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a really, really interesting character to play. So I haven't played since the patch, because the night I tried to play on Wednesday was when they did this big, huge change everything patch. So I'm going to play more this weekend. But cool. Zagara, thank you.
Sparky
Shocker chat
room. Sparky Shocker's on top of things.
On point, yeah.
Where have you been the last couple weeks?
I do seem to gravitate towards the StarCraft characters.
Hmm.
Although I think when they kind of come around, there's a couple of Warcraft characters that I want to play, but I have zero interest in playing like Tyrael or Diablo or anything like that. But the StarCraft ones, for some reason, I'm just like, yes, you guys.
Yeah, I think they're definitely more interesting than the ones they picked for Warcraft.
I don't really want to play Malfurion or Illidan or... Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Illidan's a sly motherfucker, but, like, I don't know if I want to play any of, like, the Horde type. Like, Thrall's not in there, right? Like...
Not yet. There's, Thrall, Sylvanas, is Thrall in there? No, I don't think so. There's a whole bunch that have been, like, data mined, and I'm kind of confused because the free week, you get, I think, 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that rotates through every week. So he wasn't last week or this week, but I don't know if that means he's not in the game. I haven't watched that closely or, like, looked into it that much.
Yeah. So the chat room's asking unexpected answers. Well, you're about to get an unexpected answer. Which WoW characters are we wanting to play in Heroes? Like,
I think a Deathwing would be really cool, but really hard to balance, I think, just because of the lore around his character.
That's a good one, though. Like, is Hellscream in there? Like, he'd be a good one, probably. Shows how much I know. He might actually be in there.
Garrosh?
Or Garrosh, probably.
I don't think either one of them are actually in there right now, but I'm sure that one of them will be, especially with Warlords coming out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Orc presence felt in Heroes.
Medivh might be good. Get a mage character in there.
That's a good pick, actually. Chat room saying Valyra. Yeah. She's the rogue.
Oh, yeah.
Bul'jin, Karen and Bane. Yes, The chat room knows. But yeah, no, for me, I would really like some sort of dragon character. So, I mean, you've got all the aspects, right? Alexstrasza and Deathwing, Ysera, Malygos. I feel like I'm missing one. Oh, the bronze guy. Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, it's right Nosferatu. There. Yeah, that Jeez. One. Nosferatu.
And I mean, like, but then again, it's kind of, you either go Deathwing mm-hmm. or all of them, because, like, they all play different roles, but the other aspects are all very much, like, they're usually together, they're all in the same stories. Like, Deathwing was just such a huge entity in and of himself, and he came into play so many times through Warcraft history, as mm-hmm. all the aspects did, but, you know, Deathwing's betrayal was just so big, it sets him apart as a standalone hero character, mm-hmm. or I guess character in Heroes. He's a villain, but, you know, whatever. So I think they would either have to do, like, all five of the aspects, or some kind of character that you could, like, each ability was, like, changing between aspects or something. You could become, like, oh, that'd be really cool.
Is there anyways, a super dragon?
A dragon model. I want to see a dragon model.
Yeah, well, Sparky says you got Brightwing, so... Don't hold your breath.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the fairy dragon. That's true. Which I've heard is really fun to play. So yeah. That's another one I'm looking forward to playing is Brightwing.
The great thing is that this is Blizzard's Smash Brothers, essentially, mm-hmm. except they're going to treat it very differently than Nintendo, in the sense that Nintendo loves to create a game and be like, ah, the project, I see it, it's all there. And they don't do DLC, whereas Blizzard's going to be like, screw that. We have a host of characters. There's no way we can have them all in there at time of release. So we're going to make sure it's balanced, but we're going to keep adding characters. And mm-hmm. they could go years before they start scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Or even create new ones for the game.
Yeah, that's why I think that Deathwing is going to be so difficult, is because, like, first of all, just size-wise, like, the aspects are ginormous. Like, they mm-hmm. are much, much bigger than all other dragons. And then Deathwing is the world destroyer. So if Deathwing can destroy the world, then
yeah.
why doesn't he just decimate the other team and win the game? Very similar to in Hearthstone. You play the Deathwing card and he destroys everything. All minions, the cards in your hand, just everything. It's like, brah, death.
Some would argue that maybe the Nexus has, like, sort of that Kryptonian thing that just makes everybody unequal. Because who says, like, Raynor would be able to take down Diablo? I mean, he's just got mortal guns, right? He doesn't have, like, Nephilim blood in him.
I guess, yeah.
Like, if we're going to get technical here, like, the way I see it, it's like that Superman fighting game we tried to play and failed miserably. Where,
Injustice.
Yeah, like, if... I almost said if Batman can kill Superman, we all know that can happen, but... If that magician lady can take down Superman, like, come on. Oh, wait, he's allergic to magic. Lady. That one chick that has the hat and stuff, I don't know her name. It starts with a Z, but anyways, what I'm saying, Hogger. Yeah, Josh, add Hogger. Then, if you're talking about Destroyer of Worlds, you probably don't want to put Hogger in there.
But yeah, so anyways, those are some of the characters you'd like to see in Heroes. Mm-hmm. I am enjoying it. I have only been playing practice mode because there is no way. I mean, I got in pretty much first thing when they opened it up to international people. So
yeah,
I know that I'm right on the edge. Like, everyone else has been playing for so long. They know what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing, so I don't want to just jump into a game with other people and play. Like, I was hoping to play with Garrett last week, and then the timing just didn't work out, so we didn't get a chance to. But, oh, man, like, I just... Playing against other people stresses me out so much. That's why I was really excited to pick up Banished on Steam, because single player. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, you know what? It's really cool. I think I want to play with myself for a while, because this whole multiplayer thing is stressful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying Banished, and I'm also looking forward to trying Heroes. So maybe if Blizzard, like, gets the hint, they could give me alpha access, and then we could do it on Gamers in Game Night.
We could.
Because I think, like, judging by the chat room, a good portion of them already have alpha access. So what the hell, man?
It's just you. It's
I know. They say, like, this guy owns a Wii U. Let's punish him even further.
Yeah. We don't need his opinion. He clearly makes poor life choices.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You should see, like, poor life choices. I mean, look at the things I've had to deal with, like a dog who makes poor life choices. Don't eat the mouse. That's a poor life choice. No, I'm looking forward to trying it. So I'll be interested to hear when you get into the actual gameplay and see what the community's like. Because I was reading an article today, another MOBA that's coming out called Orcs Must Die Unchained.
Right.
There was an article on Polygon where they had an interview with the creative manager or community manager or whatever, and he was saying that they actually welcome toxic behavior that they have people in their game. The article is really interesting, and it just got posted, and it could be, you know, Polygon, they like to really sensationalize stuff like this, and man, I don't know what it is about community managers saying bad things without thinking, but evidently they're really happy about attracting these toxic players, and they don't want to punish them. Like, League of Legends actually bans people, even if they're, like, super good at the game.
Yeah.
This community manager is coming out and say, oh, no, we want those toxic people, because if they're enjoying the game, that means we're doing something right. Because evidently the toxic people are the hardcores, right?
Well, not necessarily. I think that there are toxic people at every level of play. I think I can kind of see that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the toxic ones are, regardless of their skill level, they're the people that are taking it the most seriously in most cases. I'm not saying you can't take it seriously and be a nice person, because I take a lot of games seriously and I like to think that I'm still a nice person. But in general, some of the more toxic people are the ones that really care about the game. Mm-hmm. They don't express themselves well, but no. I can see how a community or a game would say, well, if they're not being as vocal in our game, then clearly we're doing something right, and that's good feedback, I guess. It's a really weird backwards way of going about it, but let them have them. You guys can all go play Orcs Must Die. And that's something I must say about Smite. I've played a lot of Smite now. Not like a lot, but I play usually 2 or 3 times a week. I'm getting better. I'm starting to play with more skilled players. We're having a lot of fun. Sometimes losing, sometimes winning. For the most part, I find one person a night tops who is actually really toxic. And that's even playing, like, I mean, Josh and I have played a lot, so that's like 2 out of the 10 people we're playing with. And then, like, I know, obviously, if we have a bigger group and we're playing with 4 or 5 people, we know that that cuts down on the chances of getting a toxic person. But if you're playing by yourself, or if you're playing just with one friend, then there's a lot of chances for you to run into somebody like that. And you can talk to people afterwards in the lobby. And I just haven't seen any of that. Like, I mean, for the most part, people are helpful. They're really nice. Then again, I'm not playing Conquest, which is like your traditional MOBA mode. I play Arena and Assault. Mm-hmm. So Assault is basically like 5 players, 1 lane, random heroes. So that's part of the fun of it, is you never know what character you're going to get. And then Arena is literally like 1 big circle. You have minions going from either side, and it's just 1 big, huge team fight. There's no jungle, no lane, no towers, no nothing. It's just minions and people. And so the hardcore mode where everybody plays competitively is Conquest, which is your 3 lanes, 5 heroes, all the rest of it. So since I'm not playing in there, that might be why I'm not experiencing it. But overall, that's the reason I keep going back to Smite, is the community in general. So helpful and respectful, which is something that you don't often see in MOBAs.
Well, that's key. I don't care how fun a game is. It's also got to have that, you know, supportive community. And if someone's being rude, like, I don't have time for that noise. Like, you know,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, it's just it's killer. And when you see a developer sort of, even if they're not speaking, obviously this guy wasn't speaking on, you know, company key messaging or whatever. Like, I doubt they go around, you know, trying to cater to the toxic people. But saying stuff like that, it's like you're rewarding people to be there toxic. It's not even saying you're trying to attract those toxic people. You're basically saying, yeah, if you're a dick, it's all good as long as you like our game. And again, it can be misconstrued. And like I said, that Polygon likes to do that with
quotes. I have and noticed stuff. That they're like, I don't know if sensationalizing is the right term.
Yeah,
but and I also don't want to say they're blowing things out of proportion, but they tend to present the most extreme view of a situation. And I mean, I again don't want to use link bait, but in some cases, like I've opened up Polygon articles and I was like, oh, that's all that happened? Oh, yeah. I really thought that that would be a little bit more extreme. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's always the spin of the media. But the chat room mentioned White Raw, who's a pro StarCraft 2 player. And I have found that there's a lot of StarCraft 2 pros and Hearthstone pros that are the same, like, not toxic at all. Like, really, really nice, really, really helpful. Their streams, like, they try to talk as much as they can. DeMuslim is another one. Love him. Mm-hmm. Him, White Raw, Trump in Hearthstone. I'm trying to think of another. Savits or Savages or however you say it. And we've had this conversation on Angry Chicken before. And I'm really, really sorry because I know that I'm probably just butchering it. But call it Savits. I think he's Swedish. Anyways, he's very, 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 very nice. He actually won the Angry Chicken Invitational. So really nice guy, really nice. And they're all pros. Like they're very, very, very high level players. So. Yeah. Well, we're not saying that all high-level players are toxic. It's just that, you know, I can see how toxic players may potentially be the ones that are taking the game most seriously. And again, there's douches at every level of every game, but...
Yeah. And again,
I can understand what the community manager was saying when he said that.
And that's something that Polygon did not explore in that article. Like that, yeah. I think that's what I'm getting at is that I love Polygon. They have some of the best writing for video games out there, but sometimes they take a flag and they just fucking run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. But I had a point. I forgot what I was going to say, but
we totally had a topic of the week and didn't even mean to.
I remember what I was going to say. Yeah, that article I probably would have put in there if I had read it like 15 minutes before the show. But I was going to say one final point on that: like pro players in pro sports, like in the real world, if esports need to be taken seriously, they need to look at like you know the NHL, the NBA, like you know organizations like that, where if you act like a dick on or off the field. You're punished to some effect.
Yeah, there's and 9 times out of 10, it's a fine.
Yeah,
depending a fine. On what the actual activity was, but a fine or a suspension. So yeah, I mean, banning someone from a game for a set period of time or putting them in the queue.
Yeah.
That what do they call it? There's a separate queue for people that have been blacklisted, essentially.
Yeah, Titanfall has like a they do that a lot with cheaters, where in Titanfall, if you're caught cheating, you get one shot. You're like, okay, we throw you in the cheaters matchmaking for 30 days, and then you get pulled back out into normal one. It's like, okay, you've had your time in the corner, let's try this again. And then if you screw up again, then your CD key, or however they do it now, is permanently banned into the cheaters matchmaking.
Yeah.
And I mean... I think it's important to do that. And then, Josh is in the chat room. It's like, you know, NHL players fight on the ice. Well, fighting on the ice is part of the game.
And it's exactly. Okay, part of the game is actually really good wording there. Because fighting on the ice, there's rules that govern that fighting. You can't take off your helmet and smash the other guy across the face with your helmet.
Yeah, you can't go Happy Gilmore on their ass.
Yeah, you also can't call them derogatory names. Like, you get caught calling somebody a derogatory name, you get fined.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are serious penalties. And then, you know, that's the equivalent of, like, I go into Heroes of the Storm, and I'm playing Raynor, and I shoot Diablo in the face. We're having a fight, but it's within the confines of the game. And it's fine, and I can follow Diablo around, and I can harass him, because, again, it's within the confines of the game. But it's as soon as you take that to another level that you're going outside the rules of the game and what is acceptable behavior and acceptable practice, and then that's where you get into an area of, well, yeah, you should be penalized, because you're not... It's sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain level of sportsmanship in sports.
Exactly.
So... Sorry, I have to cough.
Well, even then, they go to the box. Like, after they fight,
they
go 5 minutes each, and they're all in separate boxes. Sure, they're yelling at the ref, but they're not, like, using some, they're not talking like some of these 12-year-olds, and I shouldn't rope all 12-year-olds into it, but you know what I mean.
Poor 12-year-olds.
Yeah, they get a bad rap. You know, I know some great 12-year-olds, but it just, you know, they don't talk like that. They don't use racist terms. I'm sure they, like, you're laughing. I'm sure they say really mean things to each other.
Your wealth of knowledge of 12-year-olds.
Well, I mean, you know. I don't know what we're trying to get at with that, but yeah, like, it needs to look at, if they want to be on the level of the NHL and whatnot with the MLG
professional
and
sports.
Esports, yeah, professional sports, they need to start looking at that and do more and not reward that behavior. Now, I know hockey's a really good example in the sense that, like, well, what about the, you know, the enforcers and, you know, the people who are dicks, like that Lucic guy in Boston. I mean, he's kind of, I'm sure he's not a nice person in real life. He just looks mean. And he gets fined. He gets yelled at by people. He gets yelled by, I'm sure, penalized by his coach, by the organization. But that's just the type of person he is, and he rides that line. And
I'm sure he probably has some sort of clause in his contract where, like, he gets a bonus that offsets whatever fine they give him.
Yeah, and I it wouldn't surprise me. Definitely back in the day.
Don't worry, we'll cover you. We'll pay your fines. Just, yeah, go harass.
We'll support you. Just, you know, hit that guy in the back of the head. Just don't draw too many penalties. No, it's true. It happens in hockey all the time. And hockey's actually a really good example. And I'm glad if finally, Canadian podcast, 128 episodes, we've finally been able to talk about hockey.
That's true.
We can end the show now.
We let the fans down. We let the Canadian fans down that it took us the 128 episodes to get here. And we've let all the fans down that have been like, yeah, Canadian podcast, it doesn't talk about hockey. We just lost all of them.
Yeah. And even then, like, I don't know a lot about hockey, so I'm sure they gathered that as well. So I'm sure they go to the penalty box. If they, you know, it's, yeah. So don't be a dick.
Good point there, Ryan.
It's just, no one's listening anymore, so it's
that's true. So Ryan and I really appreciate the continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. And I've got to say, customer service, fantastic. I got my parts. They got here super, super fast. My Doghouse is back up and running. It was a breeze. So easy to deal with. Like, one quick phone call. And done. Like, oh, easy. Love it. So if you guys are considering getting another rig, strongly suggest Doghouse Systems. They have also, I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but they have, for all of you WoW fans out there, really, 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 really sweet custom, like, side panels that have Blizzard-approved artwork. Ryan, have you seen them yet? The Horde and Alliance ones?
Yeah. Oh, man. Looks so cool. Like, if you're a huge fan of WoW, that's definitely the thing to get on the side. Like, my computer's just got, like, my Windows key sticker on it, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's pretty rad, but it's just black and there's no cool things on it. Like, there's hole for my fan, but I want, like, a giant orc riding a tiger on mine, too. It looks so cool.
It does look so cool. So, yeah, there's the really cool sanctioned, approved, officially licensed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Blizzard side panels with the Horde and Alliance. You can pick your faction. There's also all kinds of side panels from different webcomic artists representing different podcasts. You can get yourself an Angry Chicken Doghouse. So, yeah, go check out doghousesystems.com and remember the code, TheGamersIn. I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. We were supposed to do a short show, and we ended up doing our full hour-long episode. Yeah. So.
That's what happens.
Goes to show, when we start talking about video games, you just can't shut me up.
That's true. And me. I talked a lot, too. Don't worry.
So, this week we would like to thank William Irby, who is our patron of the week. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Reminder to everybody, we do Gamers in Game Night every Thursday night. We pick a multiplayer game, we stream it, and we play with the community. First shot at those spots go to our $5 and above patrons. So, if you'd like to play with us, that's the best way to do so. We got an email this week from Sparky Shocker, who is actually in the chat room and has been providing us with a wealth of knowledge this week. So if you would like to come and join us in the chat room, we stream live every week on twitch.tv/amovetv, and that's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday night. So come join us. The chat room is freaking awesome. So Sparky Shocker says, "Hey, Innkeepers, I've been listening for a couple months now, and you guys got me to buy a 3DS. Even had to find a Zelda one. The Zelda one is super freaking cool. Mm-hmm. Find a case for it, though, because parts of my gold, like, not gold plating, but the gold paint rubbed off. So make sure you find a case to protect that. Anyway, so my question is, are the Club Nintendo coin offers ever really good, and how often do they change them up? Oh, and thanks for the Mario Golf suggestion. Great for killing time during raids." Okay, Mario Golf is not a great suggestion.
You haven't played it. You played one round.
I played like three rounds of the same tournament.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, you need to actually, you know, try. But and but also I need to actually hold up my end of the bargain in the sense that I quote, "Ryan, if I buy this game and you're still not playing it when I buy it and play it, we're going to have words." So, yes, we need to play. You know what? I'm looking at all these people talking about Mario Golf. We should just do a Mario Golf Gamers In game night. We can't stream it, but we could certainly play golf.
Yay, that sounds like fun.
You haven't given it a shot. I'm giving you an opportunity to use the $35 you spent on Mario Golf.
That's true. So to answer your question about Club Nintendo, I think Ryan's going to be a little bit better to speak to this than me, because I have had the worst luck with Club Nintendo ever. Every single time, with I think one exception, that I've gone to enter a code, it tells me that the code is either invalid or has already been redeemed, and yet I have zero coins on my account. Makes me really angry.
That I do not know how to fix. Are you buying it digitally, or are you talking about the stuff you buy? I know what you're doing. Are you trying to register the used games that you bought?
No.
Oh, okay.
That I would expect, you know, buys the game, like, obviously that code is only good once. No, I bought, I've had a few different digital purchases, but even the purchase of my system, it said, you know, just enter the serial code from your 3DS into Club Nintendo, and I'm supposed to get something like 150 coins or something for purchasing the 3DS, and it says that that code has already been redeemed, and I'm like, what?
Well, you know, it would be a real dick move. I think when people they can get those their hands on those boxes, and the serial key is actually showed through the box. So someone might have redeemed it already. You're not gonna like that, but you might have to contact support. But in terms of like actually going through the hoops and earning the coins and getting what?
I said that's so frustrating.
It is. And you know,
Nintendo.
I don't even know if it's Nintendo, but it's certainly a weird way of doing it. But once you start earning coins, and you know, there's some stuff like I only order stuff every once in a while. I certainly earn enough coins to get like the platinum status, which gets you like a free item once a year. And occasionally they'll add cool items like this. This is I haven't actually like opened it up and put it out there, but a Luigi's.
Oh, we're doing an unboxing video.
Yeah, look at this. So it was 1500 coins, and it's a Luigi's Mansion. I hope I don't break it live on the air. Luigi's Mansion, like,
so Ryan
diorama thing, and it's actually really cool. And I got it for free. I buy all these Nintendo games just because I love Nintendo games, and then I register them, and they give you cool free stuff.
So Club Nintendo, that's obviously more than one platform. So that's the Wii stuff, the 3DS stuff, all that kind of crap. So obviously you're collecting points from multiple systems. Mm-hmm. I assume that your Wii U purchase gave you some amount of coins. Do you find that they stack up pretty quickly? Like you're getting rewards all the time? Or is it like, you know, 10 coins per game and it takes 1,000 coins to get anything?
It doesn't take much to earn enough coins. Like, you find they sort of pile up. Like, the Wii U obviously had a boost, but then, like, every Wii U game's, like, 70 coins, and then every 3DS game's, like, 50 coins. And if you actually buy them, if you link your Nintendo ID account and you buy the games on the eShop, which is what I do, it's automatically registered.
That's the other thing I tried to do, and it didn't work.
Oh.
I've had the worst luck.
You have luck with all these online services. Remember Origin?
I remember Origin. I try to forget.
Sorry. Well, it looks like I'm not playing Smite tonight.
I do. I have terrible, terrible luck with all this kind of code redemption, all the rest of it. Green Man Gaming has never given me a problem. Mm-hmm. Steam has never given me a problem. And Blizzard has never given me a problem. But outside of that, all of these different clubs and codes and logins and registrations and all that kind of shit, my God, I have the worst luck. Worst ever.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. And they have some great posters. I actually have a set of, like, Link Between Worlds posters.
World Between Links.
I don't know. There's, like, 3 full-size posters, and they're, like, the fabulous game art that they have. And it cost me nothing, and I think it was maybe, like, 400 coins. And occasionally they'll throw up, like, premium items, like the Luigi's one, but they also had, like, they have, like, carrying cases. They have, they had, like, charging stations for your 3DS XL, which you cannot buy in stores, which is also
I do remember talking about this before, and I remember you saying that a lot of the Club Nintendo items are things that they don't offer in stores, or at least you get it a good few months before they're available in stores. So,
yeah.
Overall, though, like, how often do they actually change up the offers and things that you can get?
Well, they change every month. They have the digital games you can actually redeem for, like, virtual console titles for a couple hundred coins and redeem those on your systems. So, like, I think one month they had, like, Smash Brothers, and the other month they had, like, Mario Party and so on and so forth. So that changes.
And those are Wii games, though, right? Not 3DS titles?
Sometimes they're Wii and sometimes they're 3DS. They switch them up every month, and usually the premium items, you'll see it announced, like Nintendo of America will be like, we have a premium item going up, and they usually sell out pretty quickly, so you have to get in there.
There are limited quantities as well that you have to watch out for.
Yeah, the Luigi's Mansion thing went pretty quick. You had to. I couldn't even get, like, the 3DS XL charging station. It was sold out, like, within the day. I didn't get a chance to order mine.
Wow.
But, yeah, it sells out pretty quick. I don't know whether it's because they just have so limited items or people are actually using the service, but
they probably have 2, and they're like, it's going to look really, really great if we can, like, sell out in a day. Everyone will think we're really popular. Let's just make 2.
Yeah, exactly. We'll make 2. But, you know, it's... I really enjoy it, and I feel bad that you're having so many issues with it, because it's... totally, like, a no work thing for me. It just kind of goes. And but yeah, if you
maybe I just haven't taken the time to sit down and really try to do it properly. Let's go with that.
Sure, if you want.
Yeah. So I think that does it for us this week. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can find us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com if you'd like to tell us what you played this week, what you picked up on the Steam sale, or what your favorite Smite skin is. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Except for not actually next week, because I won't be here. But Ryan will be here.
Well, geez, thanks a lot.
I guess you can tune in.
Jocelyn won't be here, but just so you know, just to warn you ahead of time.
Because Nerdtacular.
Yes, Nerdtacular. I won't be there, but I'll be there in spirit.
I'm so stoked.
Haunting everybody.
Good night.
Yay.